Hello out there in Nahla land. Today is a day of great joy. In Mirtz Hashem, today we are Masayim Triasar. We're finishing the final two concluding prakim of Malachi. Today's shiur is learned in Nishmas Rachel Lea Bas Chaim Tzvi Aleha Shalom. And before we commence learning the second or third parak, I want to mention one pasuk at the end of parak Aleph, which I don't think I mentioned last time, because it's interesting. Pasuk Yud Gimel, it says, V'amartem hinei, this is parak Aleph, pasuk Yud Gimel. It says, Yud Gimel, V'amartem hinei matla'a v'ipachtem oso amar Hashem Tzavakos v'esem gozul v'esapiseach v'sachayla v'esem v'esem v'milcha. We mentioned last time how this has to do with the day in mitzvah by Avera, meaning, you say, behold, this offering is so burdensome, and you vex him, and you say, God, master of legions, bring the stolen, the lame, the sick animal, and you bring it. So the point is that throughout the world, the Navi is saying, God's name is known. He's famous throughout the world, and yet what happens over here? The Jewish people are reluctant to mention the name of God. The United States president is mentioned all the time. John McCain, his acceptance speech, mentioned God a million times. Can't say the same for Obama, who mentioned only at the end the prerequisite saying, God bless America. But McCain mentioned it time again and again and again and again. And it's very customarily, at inaugural addresses, God had mentioned. And yet, and I'm not a person who likes to bash, and yet Israeli presidents and prime ministers almost break out in the hives if they have to mention the name of God. The Navi says he's famous throughout the world, and yet you refuse to mention his name. This situation today comes right out of the Navi. We commence Perek Beis, the second Perek of Malachi. Before we begin, although a person has a good animal, people bring cripples and they say it's good enough and they write as a tax write-off. That is the background of the Navi's complaint, which brings us into the second Perek. In the second parak in our chapter, the Navi speaks directly to the Kohanim and the Levim, and again they are held to a much higher standard and expect more from them. The bracha that we say in Haftar is Habocher Benevim Tovim, that are very good prophets, meaning the administrative assets are important, but far more important than being an administrative whiz is being a good person. The task of leadership is to be a good person, person that we want to be proud of as our leader, person who is not corrupt, who is not in the news for doing dishonest things, one we're proud of, one we look up to. The leaders of God's people are held accountable to the very high standards. Begin Perek Beis Pasuk Aleph. Va'ata lechem ha-mitzvah hazot ha-kohanim. He begins right away by saying, and now this commandment is upon you, the Kohanim. Pasuk Beis. Im lo sishmu v'im lo sasimu alev lases kavod lishmi, Amar Shem Tzvakos, Shilati Vachem es Hame'era, Varosi es Birchoseihem, Vagamarosiha, Ki Einchem Samim Alev. If you do not listen and do not take it to heart, to render honor to my name, says God, Hashem Tzvakot, I will send a curse among you and I will curse your blessings. I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed it, for you did not take it to heart. So God is giving a warning and a warning before this happens. So what will happen is, this is the opposite of what blessing will be. This will be the curse. You'll be stricken. And I will curse you again, that the blessings which I've given you up till now will now turn into curses because of your abominable behavior. Pasuk Gimel, Hineni goer lachem es hazera v'zerisi feresh apneichem, perish chageichem, nasa eschem elav. Wow, these are pretty terrible things. Behold, I am suppressing the seed because of you, and will scatter filth upon your faces, meaning literally the waste I will put on your faces. The filth of your festive offerings, your sin, will carry you to this. The Navi here is being extremely graphic. Describe what will happen if the high standards are not observed. I, says God, I will get even with you. I will take the dung, and I will rub your noses in it. God will not tolerate corrupt leadership. And this will not be compromised because of the low current crop of candidates. Can't say, listen here, everybody's corrupt. There is no such thing as relative good. I expect proper behavior, paragons of mankind and of character for the Jewish leaders. I think that's expectation from every person. Nevuah is never soothing, and certainly Malachi will not say good enough. No, no, that is not the way of Malachi. For the high standard cannot be compromised. And Navi says, I expect from you greatness, and if you will not deliver, then I will arrange circumstances which will be consequential to your inappropriate behavior. Malachi describes the ideal Jewish leadership, and he gives good advice to those who would aspire to such a role. Fundamentally, what is the advice of Malachi to a Jewish leader? And I mean, if you're familiar with current events of today, they weren't listening to Malachi, that's for sure. Fundamentally, the advice is not to make the leader into an infallible god, not to demand honor and service from other Jews. And this is described best as what Leroy Wine likes to call proportionate humility. What does proportionate humility mean? It means if Isaac Stern were to say, I don't know how to play violin, that's not humility, that's idiocy. If Isaac Stern were to say, I'm an excellent violin player, but I don't understand politics, that's a proportionate humility. The tragedy today is that people think because they're experts in one area, they're very good basketball players, they're good singers, they think they're experts in every area. And these people are moronic and basilic and idiotic, and they have no worthwhile advice to give in other areas beyond their domain. I wonder if they know much too much about their own rubric. So Malachi is saying that to be the leader means you have to have some proportionate humility, not to be this kind of God that knows everything, because you are fallible. A wise leader is one who is well aware of his or her shortcomings. Okay, so Pasuk Dalid, V'idatem ki shalachti aleichem es ha-mitzvah hazot, yos b'risi es levi amar shem tzvokos. Pasuk Dalid, know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant shall be with Levi, says Hashem, Hashem Tzvakot. And Pasuk Hey, B'risi ha'isa ito ha'chaim v'ha'shalom v'etna lo mora v'yareni, ne'shmi nichashu. The teaching of truth was in his mouth. I'm so sorry. Number 5. My covenant was with him, life and peace. Life and peace. I gave these to him for the sake of the fear for which he feared me, for he was in awe of my name. So God is saying, like he said before, the curse will be, I will put the dung in your face. Mamash, the excrement will go into your face. That's what I think of your sacrifices. The sacrifices of your holidays will not be accepted by me. I will not find them desirable any which way. They are a source of degradation. And my covenant means Achaim v'ashalom. It means long life, peace and of good. I will give this to you if you have the proper fear. Pasuk Vav. Achaim v'ashalom means the goal of a leader means the goal of a leader is to promote life and harmony. Most leaders are remembered and awarded with status because of war. That's the way it is. Most leaders, think about America, certainly in Israel, the great leaders are people who emerged from wars as war heroes, then became generals, then leaders of the American people, of the Israeli people. I'm sure the same is in South America, in Europe, in the Orient. The leaders become, the war heroes become the leaders. But the Navi is saying something else. Achaim v'ashalom. The goal of the leader is to promote harmony and peace. Leaders will come out of peace, not out of battle, not out of battlefields. Number 6. Torah emes haisa b'fiu. V'avlau nimsa b'sfasav. B'shalom v'mishor halachiti. Rabim heshiv me'avon. Which means the teachings of truth was in his mouth, and justice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and with faith, fairness, and turned many away from iniquity. So what does it mean, Torah? That which God teaches the people to walk in a just way, to walk with peace and the ways of peace and in a just way and to be a proper and just and correct. and to make everyone to turn back from the bad ways and come to the good ways, which also means that turn away from sin not by words of a leader, but by the example of the leader. There's no more efficacious way to lead an individual, to lead a people, but by your example. You can say anything to them, but if your behavior is different, then your example is undercuts all of your leadership. But the person who acts in a way which is modest, humble, appropriate, that is the best way of leadership, by example, much more than the words and the platitudes. Pasuk Zion. Kisif seichoin yishmeru das v'sora yivakshu mepihu. Kimelach Hashem tzavakais hu. Very, very famous pasuk. Number 7. The lips of the Kohen should safeguard knowledge. People should seek teaching from his mouth, for he is an agent of Hashem, master of legions. Agent means, and that's the deal of a malach, an agent means that he is a servant, and the deal of a shaliach is shliach alam kamoso. An agent acts on behalf of the person who has dispatched him, and he's a proper representative of the person who sent him. In other words, if a shaliach is sent, if Reuven appoints Shimon as his shaliach, as his agent to go marry Rivka, Rivka becomes wed to Reuven, and because Shimon was a faithful, he did what Reuven wanted him to do. And he acts on behalf of Reuven, and now Rivka is wed to Reuven, even though Shimon is one who performed it. Shliach Adam Kamoso, a person acts on behalf of the person. And if a person is an angel, an agent of God, that means they're doing the will of God. The Gemara says in Moed Katan, you should, if your Rebbe is a angel, then you should acquire knowledge from him. The strange thing about this Gemara is, if your Rebbe is like an angel, I mean, we like to say someone's angelic and someone's angel-like, but what do we know about angels? We know very little about angels. How will I know if this person is an angel? I don't know anything about angels. The answer is there is one thing for sure. I heard this, read this in our, by a member of Box from Detroit. He said, there's one thing we do know about angels, and that is, an angel can only do one shlichut at a time, only one thing at a time. So if you see your Rebbe is exactly one thing, learning Torah, propagating Torah, observing Torah, adhering to the Torah, then that is an angel. He does one thing, one shlichus, and you can accept Torah and observe Torah from him. Furthermore, the Gemara says in Malach Hashem Tzvakos, if he's like an angel, then take Torah from him. It doesn't matter how smart he is or how much he knows. It should be that he has a person who acts in an angelic way. I have your notes. I'm not sure what they're relating to. Okay, that must be Pasaches. Let's see what else for Zion. The Kohen, the job of the Kohen and of that of Levi is to safeguard the word of God, God and his Torah. Ki Malach Hashem. Kohen Tzedek is similar to the Malach Hashem. And his job is to go teach Torah to the Jewish people. Ches. Va'atem sartem min haderech, yichshaltem rabim b'torah, shichatem b'ris ha-Levi, amar Hashem Tzvakot. However, what happened is, Pasaches, you have veered from the path. You have caused many people to stumble through your teaching. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says God, Hashem Tzvakot. Meaning, your covenant of Levi should have caused you to act better. Just because you are the Kohen, this does not make you any better person than anyone else. This is the mashal, this is the analogy of one person who's boring a hole in the bottom of the boat. And because everyone's going to drown, I said, listen here, it's my boat, listen. People were riding on a boat, and a person takes out a drill and starts drilling a hole underneath the seat. He said, What are you doing? He said, listen here, it's my seat, I paid rent, I can drill a hole in the bottom. He said, no, if you make this hole, it brings everyone down. That's the role of the leader, that's the Kohen, that's the Levi. That's the mashal. In other words, you have to act better. Because if not, because of your leadership, you bring everyone down with you. It's treasonous what you're doing. And people went outside of the faith, there was assimilation, there was intermarriage, desecration, and all these acts of treason were being done in Jewish life, and the Kohanim, not only did they not stop it, they themselves perpetrated this thing. not only did you teach wrong, but your people became turned off because of you. Instead of acting like a Kohen should act, you displayed no morals, no backbone, no background. Your behavior was a total chil Hashem, and stripped other people and caused damage. It's abominable what you've done, and there's no way you can justify it. You have caused the many. You were chil Hashem to many people. Pasuk Tes. V'gam ani nasati eschem nivzim u'shvolim l'chol am v'yasher einchem shomrim es drachai v'nosim ponim v'torah. Which means, you have, therefore, I have also made you repulsive and lowly to all the people, because you did not observe my ways and you have shown favoritism in your teaching. Well, what the Navi is referring to is, what did the Kohanim do? If a very important person would bring a unacceptable offering, you would allow, you would defer to his status because he's very important, he's very affluent, and you would allow him to bring something which is unacceptable. A Kohen can't do that. Where's your backbone? Where's your leadership? Just like you didn't observe your commandment, your covenant, to honor God's Torah and honor God, likewise God will punish you. Midah k'nei, measure for measure. You'll be beaten, cast aside, instead of being honorable, instead of being respectable people. And to all the people, will be you'll be disgraceful in the eyes of all the people. We begin a new subject now, which is... it's the third concept, starting with the 9th to 10th verse through the 16th, 15th verse, which is against intermarriage, which was a problem over here and a problem of Ezra at the time that they came back to Eretz Yisrael. Pasuk Yud Aleph, pardon me, Pasuk Yud. Halo Av Echad Lechulanu, Halo Kel Echad Beranu, Madu Nivgar Ish Ba'achiv Lechalo Bris Avoseinu. Judah has betrayed, an abomination has been done in Israel and in Jerusalem. But Judah has defiled the holy nation of God, which he loved, has taken in marriage the daughter of a foreign god. Did I just read that? No, that's Yud Aleph. I'm so sorry, I read Yud. Let me translate Yud. Have we all not one father? Now, Malachi is addressing people from his time who betrayed their Jewish wives during the exile and they married the local heathen women. So he says, and do not just have one father? Do we not have God who created us all? Why then is one person betrayed by another to defile the covenant of our fathers? Strong words. And then he says in Yud Aleph, Bagdo Yehudav Toev Nesa B'Yisrael Yushaloyim Kichilel Yehuda Kodesh Hashem Asher Ohev Uval Bas Kel Nechar. Meaning, Yehuda has betrayed, and an abomination has been done in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Yehuda has defiled the holy nation of God, which he loved. He's taken in marriage the daughter of a foreign god. Right? Who's he betraying? He's betraying the Jewish daughters. Bagdo Yehuda, Judah has betrayed. First comes a negative attitude towards Torah, then bad behavior, and finally it leads to treachery, to treason, whereby consequences, the Pasuk Yud Beis, that they first, we have in Yud Aleph, in our Pasuk, first they intermarry, and then they're going to be cut off. If you're treacherous, it's going to meet a Kenega Mita, you'll be cut off as well. So the Navi answers, Yehuda has betrayed. Yehuda was a betrayer. Because when they took a foreign woman, it's also not just themselves have acted inappropriately, they've also betrayed their people by doing this. It's abomination to God. And it's an abomination to Jerusalem, meaning Jerusalem is a holy city. It's been betrayed and because of this. So when he says that, are we all not the son of one father? According to the Barbanel, what he means is like this, is that they used to answer like this. The Kohanim would say, what do you say? What's wrong that we Kohanim, that we took non-Jewish women? Aren't we all the children of one father? If we're all one father, they're not foreign, they're not strange. We're all from the same family. It's such a hyperbolic logic. He said, what are you saying that we took a non-Jewish woman? We're all from the same family. We all come from the same Adam and Chava. Why do you say that we've taken foreign women? This is the specious defense of the Kohanim. So these Kohanim try and use this cosmopolitan excuse to justify what they've done. Yud Beis. So here's the punishment. Yachreis Hashem le'ish asher ya'asene er va'oneh. Yale Yaakov u'magish mincha l'Hashem tzvakot. Which means, may God eliminate from the man who does this, any child in the center from the tents of Yaakov, anyone who might present an offering to God, the Hashem tzvakot. If the man is a Kohen, then he may have no children to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. He'll be cut off. Because what is it then? If someone is cutting off his sanctity, so the law in the Torah is, in Vayikra, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Ches, because God will cut off all those from his nation. And the Navi is just echoing that which says in the Torah. Pasuk, why are they going to be cut off? They'll be cut off because they are lost. They're lost to themselves and they're lost to Jewish people. The critical thing is, and this is a very important rule, we learn that from here, and it's a vital rule, and tragically it's a rule which many, many people have not learned. And the rule is you have to be loyal. You have to be loyal to your spouse, be loyal to your family, loyal to your traditions. It says by Avram, Vayelech Avram Lemasov, and Avram went on his way, which teaches us that he remained loyal to those people. He's now very famous, he's very rich, and he went back to his way. He went to the same innkeeper he stayed at the first time when he was not a rich man at all. He remained faithful to them, he was loyal to them. You know, he's the famous, he can stay in the 5-star hotels. No, he wasn't going to do that. He remains loyal. Such place as a rich man, and he's the same person as a rich man as he was as a poor man. Preliminarily, it's the same Avram, it's the same person. And you too must display the same loyalty. Otherwise, you'll be cut off. Do we translate your base? I'm not sure. 12 means, may God eliminate the man who does this, and Shalom, we did read this, sent from the tents of Yaakov, and anyone who might present an offering to God, Shavakos, Yud Gimel. V'zo shenista asu kasos tima es mizbach Hashem b'chi v'anako. Me'ena od p'nos el mincha v'lakachas v'tzom yadchem. Yud Gimel. And I really truly hope you have the Navi in front of you. We're in Pasuk Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel. And this is a second sin that you commit. Covering the altar of God with tears, crying and moaning so that he will no longer turn to your offering and take the favor from your hand. This is what the Kohanim used to do when they were mourners. God will not accept from them these crying and crying, they want to bring their korban. He's not going to take it from them. Because if people are corrupt people, God will not accept their sacrifices. You're down with it. V'amartam alma al ki Hashem he'id beincha uvein eshes ne'urecha she'ata v'garata ba v'hi chevratcha v'eshes brisecha. Pasuk Yudalid, you say, why is this? Is it because God has testified between you and the wife of your youth, whom you have betrayed, though she is your companion and the wife of your covenant? Ooh. What happened is, you made a covenant of marriage and you called God in to be a witness to you and your wife, and you promised you will never take a foreign woman and any other extra woman. And the woman from your covenant, the woman that you made the covenant with. But you flagrantly violated this covenant. And you took foreign women, heathen women, violating what you committed to God and to your wife. Tes Vav. V'lo echad asa ushar ruach lo, ama echad mevakesh zera lukim. V'nishmartem beruchachem, v'eshes nurecha af yigod. 15. You ask, but did not the unique one. This is referring to Avram. So what does this treacherous husband do, the one who abandoned his wife? He says, but Avram did the same thing. Why? Didn't Avram take Hagar? What do you want from me? I did like Avram. And this was another response to him. Avram's motive was holy. Had he not had any children with Sarah, it would have been different. But because he wanted to have children, and Sarah encouraged him, the only reason he took Hagar was to raise a family that would be faithful with God. But you have no high purpose. You went after your desires and your lust, therefore you took a non-Jewish woman. How dare you betray your Jewish wives? You have no justification for it. And how dare you compare yourself to Avram? So says the Marikara. No one is allowed to be unfaithful to their wives. Do we read 15? Lo echad asar ushar ruach lo uma echad mevakesh zera elokim mishmartim ruchachem v'eishas norecha al yivgod. 15. You ask, well, did not the unique one, as we started with Avram, do so, and he had an extraordinary spirit. And what did the unique one seek? Godly offspring. However, you should guard your spirit and not betray the wife of your youth, like we explained already. The people say that as if they're applying to like Avram, who went after a non-Jewish woman with Hagar. He did it for the most noble reason, and that's certainly not the case with you. Number 16. Ki sanei shalach amar Hashem elokei Yisrael, v'chisach hamas al levusho, amar Hashem tzvakos, nishmartem beruchachem v'lo sivgodu. 15 means, you ask, I'm sorry, 16, for he who hates his wife should divorce her, says God. God of Israel, he covers injustice with his garment. And says God, what does it mean with his garment? Oh, so they say, it means a man who insists on retaining the wife he hates is concealing his dislike. It's like covering injustice with a garment. You should at least divorce the wives you dislike so that you would be free to remarry. So what he's saying, I want to be a faithful person, I'll just cover it over and they'll marry the non-Jewish woman. No, you can't do that. If you have a woman who's inappropriate, for legitimate reasons inappropriate, for the proper reasons, the best thing is inappropriate, then you have the right to divorce her. But to say, listen here, I'm going to take care of her, you know, just go around with a non-Jewish woman, there's no heter, there's no justification in the world for this. For again, the Navi says, for he who hates his wife should divorce her, says God. He covers injustice with his garment, says God, master of the legions, guard your spirit, do not commit betrayal. You can justify everything, but this is no way to justify. You can't justify betrayal. So Navi is really speaking to three different kinds of people here. He's referring to those people who refuse to divorce their non-Jewish wives. He's referring to those people who divorced their wives of their youth because for a foreign woman. They left their Jewish wives for a foreign woman. He speaks also to those people who add a non-Jewish wife to the wife of their youth. All three of them are getting the hit on the head by Malachi. Yud Zayin. Hogatem Hashem b'divreichem, v'amartem v'me'o hoganu, v'marchem kol osei ra, tov b'nei Hashem u'vahem hu chafetz, oyeyei, elokei ha'mishpat. Yud Zayin, the final pasuk in the second parak. You have wearied Hashem with your words, but you say, how have we wearied him? By your saying, everyone who does wrong is good in the eyes of God. And he favors them. Or else, where is the God of justice? Okay. To end off this parak, you have been troublesome. So you want to know, You want to know, where is God's justice? How could it be? Why doesn't he come and bring justice upon those who have done inappropriately, those who are unjust? Where is the righteousness of God upon those who deserve some kind of remuneration? Okay, recompense. We begin the third paragraph. Now, the third paragraph of Malachi is the Haftarah for Shabbos HaGadol. Deals with the purification of the people. This is a famous Haftarah because every year, Shabbos HaGadol, we all know the story, that this is the two times a year when the Rav would give a drush. He'd give a drush on Shabbos Shuva and Shabbos HaGadol. There's a story that a fellow had to go away from Varsha on business, Shabbos HaGadol. And after Shabbos came back to the Rav and he said, I'm sorry, Rav, I had tremendously important business dealings in Varsha. I'm sorry I had to leave Varsha. I'm sorry I had to go to Lodz. And I apologize. And the Rav said, I see you feel so bad. I'll tell you my Shabbos HaGadol drush. He said, oh, no, please. I'll go to all the Balabatim. I'm sure they've paid very clear, attentive attention. I'll hear it from them. And the Rav shouldn't trouble himself. The Rav said, sit down and talk to you. No. Why trouble the Rav? I just came. I'm on my way right now to ask one of the Balabatim. Tell to me, the Rav, you continue learning, and I'll hear all the vital details from. No. Sit down. I'll tell to you. So he sits down, and the fellow is bored out of his mind. He's sitting back and forth, trying to keep his eyes open. He's trying to keep them open with toothpicks and pulling his whiskers, anything to stay awake. Finally, after an hour, he says, but what difference does it make? As always we say in learning, what's the difference between this opinion, that opinion? This is wunderbar. The whole fulcrum of the shiur is an afkamina submission. The Ram, the Ravid, you hit it on the head. That is the difference between the Ram, the Ravid. Perfect question. He goes another hour and the Baal Bas is, his eyes are glazed over. He's trying to not fall over from sleeping on the bench. He's trying to stay awake and he says, Abramayanafkamina, what difference does it make? Wunderbar. I couldn't believe you asked this question. This is against Kuzim and Tosfos Reading the Rashba. I didn't go into this in the shiur. I thought people wouldn't understand it. You have to gevaldik, and I'll tell you an afkamina. He sits down another hour. He can barely stay awake, and he's trying every which way to stay awake. And finally, he says, "I'm a mind afkamina, but what difference does it make?" The Rav says, "I don't understand." The first time he asked the question, difference between the Ram and the Ravid. The second time, he didn't Tosfos Reading the Rashba. Perfect. But when I ask him, "Mind afkamina," and finally, this Baal Bas finishes the question, "Mind afkamina, what difference does it make?" Beretzumir, beretzumvant. What difference does it make? Talking to me, talking to the wall. Well, he's back to Shabbos HaGadol. And we all know there's many reasons why it's called Shabbos HaGadol. One of them is because of the very wording of Malachi. Hinei Yom Hashem HaGadol HaNoira, the great day of God. Let's commence learning the third parak. Hinei Ani Sholech Malachi, I will send my servant. This is the thing we spoke about in the first parak. Maybe Malachi means he's the servant. We don't know his name. But he's just called Malachi, the servant of God. Hinei Sholech Malachi Ufina Derech Lefanai. Ufisom yavo el hechalo ha adon asher atem vakshim o malach habris asher atem chafetzim hineva amar shem tzvakot. He begins by saying, behold, I'm sending my messenger, and he will clear a path before me. And this is, of course, referring to Eliyahu Navi. He is the messenger. Suddenly, the Lord whom you seek will come to his sanctuary. And the messenger of the covenant for whom you yearn, behold, he comes, says Hashem, Hashem Tzvakot. So the Malach is coming and saying, the Navi is saying, you have to clear a way for the angel of God. Because he's going to get all the Rishayim, all the evil people are going to be obliterated from the land. And right after that, God's temple will be prominent in Yerushalayim. Pasuk Beis. Omi mechal kelis yom bo'o, miho made behera so, ki hu ke'esh mitzaref uch voris mechabsim. Meaning, who can bear the day of his coming, and who can survive when he appears? He will be like the smeller's fire and like the launderer's soap. Okay, this is a little bit beyond me what he's saying here. But those people who will be able to remain alive after God's coming, there will be so much destruction, Gog and Magog, people who remain alive on that day, they will be like the smelter who's able to take out all the impurities and take out something pure. Because there's going to be a purification process at the end. Pasuk Gimel. V'yashav mitzaref mitaher kesef. V'tiharas b'nei levi v'zikako sam kazahav kesef. L'Hashem magishe mincha b'tztaka. Meaning, number three, Pasuk Gimel. He will sit smelting and purifying silver. He will purify the children of Levi and refine them like gold and like silver, and they will be for Hashem presenters of offerings and righteousness. Meaning those who sit, they will purify them to people from the evil that's within them. And Bnei Levi means these are the Kohanim. They will be the very first ones to engage in the purification process. They'll be like pure gold, silver. That is really, really exceptional. The finest of the fine. And those that are left over, bitzdakah, from their tzedek, from their their behavior of justice, they will become the tzaddikim. Everything is just, they'll be just tzaddikim. Tzaddik, tzedek, it all goes together. Number four. Va'arva l'Hashem minchas yudav yisholoyim kimei oylam v'chanim kameyos. We say this in Shemon Esrei every day. Then the offerings of Judah and Yerushalayim will be pleasing to God, as in the days of old and in previous years. It means it'll be like the good old days in the earlier generations. Number five. V'karavti aleichem l'mishpat v'ayisi eid m'maher b'michshafim b'am chashvim b'an na'afim v'nishbaim l'shaker v'ashkesh schar sachir al manav yisam v'teger v'lo yirayuni amar shem tzvakot. Wow. Number five. I'll draw near to you for the judgment. I'll be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who extort the wage of the worker, the widow and the orphan, against those who wrong the stranger. Do not fear me, says Hashem, Hashem Tzvakot. Let's get the words again. V'oshke schar sochir amana yosam amate ger v'yiruni amar Hashem Tzvakot. Means God is going to come close to the city for justice, to give his judgment, to make sure the judgment comes swiftly. And against all those sorcerers, these are people who have sinned against the generation, those who abused, those who charged workers, those who abused the widow, the orphan, those who took advantage of the ger, all these people have to pay a very high price. God's morals did not change. What was moral 3,000 years ago is moral today. New ideas and new religions are rehashing basically what is an old idea, what God has already put forth. And the proof of this is that lo chalisim, as we're going to see, I've not destroyed you. You're still here against all the odds. But I, God, have not changed, and you're here as well. And that's exactly what we say in the next pasuk. Kini Hashem lo shanisi, I did not change anything. The same God as before, same God now. The rules are the same. Different religions come, different religions go. But it's the same idea which they've caught from the Judaic doctrine, Batem b'nei Yaakov, lo chalisim. For I, God, have not changed, and you, the sons of Yaakov, have not perished. This is Eliyahu Navi. He's going to eliminate the evil from the land to herald and to enable the arrival of Mashiach. Okay, so we're ready to begin the third parak. Third parak is... I'm sorry. We're already in the third parak. I got confused. Pasuk Zion. Limimei avoseichem sartem mechukei velo shamartem. Shuvu elai vashuv aleichem. Famous words, but who's going to make the first step? Amar shem tzvakot. Amartem b'men hashuv. Oh, such naivete. Number seven. Since the days of your forefathers you have veered away from my laws, you have not observed them. Return to me and I will return to you, says God. Hashem Tzvakot. But you say, for what should we repent? Why should we go back? What is there to go back for? We don't know. What are you telling us to go back for? We're just fine and dandy. You didn't go my ways. And you want to know, why should I go back? What is there to go back to? God says, you do my part. Hashivein, Moshem Lech Ben Hashuva. It's the oldest machlokus in the world. We say, God, you return to us. And God says, you return to me. Who's going to go first? And we say, what are you talking about? What do we have? And these wise guys say, what is there to do any tshuva about? Ha'ikva adam elokim ki atem kovim osi. V'martim b'mek v'anucha. Ha'maaser v'hatruma. Pasuke. Should a person steal from God as you steal from me? And you say, how have we stolen from you? What, we didn't give over the Trumas and Maestris? That's called stealing. That you call stealing? That's stealing. Oh, please. So would a person actually be so brazen to steal from God? For God knows all. And the answer is yes, you would steal. How? With Trumas and Maestris. They're Kodesh Lashem. You have to give them to the Kohanim, to the Levim, those who serve God. And now he said, you talk very good in the restaurant, but afterwards, when no one's looking, you know, you're not giving to the Kohanim and the Levim what they do. And you want to know who could person, how could people take from God without paying for it? You are the ones. Pasuk Tes. Vameira ten ne'arim. Vosi aten kovim hagoy kulo. You are a cursed with a curse, and yet you continue to steal from me the entire nation. Okay. Good. We do again. On test. Okay, you do it. The whole nation has sinned. In other words, the whole people have done wrong. The Kohanim certainly have not done what they're supposed to do. The whole nation is guilty of acting inappropriately. Pasuk Yod. Haviu es kol hamasir el beis ha'itzer v'hi teref b'veisi v'chanuni na b'zot amar shon tzvakot v'mavtach lechem es arubos ha'shomoyim v'arkos lechem bracha ad b'lidai. Very, very famous pasuk, famous song. Pasuk Yod. Bring all the tithes into the storage house. Let it be sustenance in my temple. Test me, if you will, with this, says Hashem, Master of Legions, see if I do not open for you the windows of the heavens, pour out upon you blessings without end. Famous pasuk. This is the only place in the Torah where God says you can test me. Bechanuni gam bezel, test me. In other words, we have no right to test God. We can't bring ourselves in a situation where we're testing God, but over one here, God says you can test me. Give tzedakah, be charitable, be philanthropic, be magnanimous, be benevolent, and see that you'll get results. And this was the motto of Dov Hochstein. So when Ruch had passed away last week, they got it from Shiva just last week. Dov Hochstein, this was his motto, Bechanuni gam bezot. Unbelievably successful man. And he said, no, I know, because God said you can test me in this area. If you're generous and philanthropic, test me in it, and you'll see that I'll get blessings. What kind of blessings? Ad b'lidai. There's no end to it. And there's no end. From the openings of heaven, all of the heavens, all the water, all the dew, all these good things from heaven will open up. These gishmei bracha, these blessings from heaven, lidai, more than is necessary to live. It'll be so good. It'll be rav tov. It'll be so good. Yud aleph. Vega'arti lachem. Did I ever translate yud? A blessing without end. Yes, I did. Yud aleph. Vega'arti lachem ba'ochel v'lo yashchis lachem es pri hadama lo tishakel lachem hagefen basadeh amar shem tzvakot. Yud aleph means, and I will rebuke the devourer for you. The devourer means the locusts, all those insects that come and take away, they chew up all the vegetation, and I will rebuke the devourer for you. I will not destroy for you the produce of the ground, and the vine will not cast off its fruit for you in the field, says God, Hashem Tzvakot. All these are all these creepy crawlers, these mazikim who eat up the produce. These are the locusts, the worms, eat up all the good, plentiful things that are in the field. Because it's the same word as like losing a child, Lo Aleinu. Losing your fruit. And of course the grapes are the most important. The grapes are the most important of all the produce in the field, out in the of the harvest. Yud Beis. Vishru eschem kol goyim ki siyu atem eretz chefetz. Amar shem tzokot. Eretz chefetz. Yud Beis. And all the nations will praise you, for you will be a land of delight, says God. And Eretz Chevet, a land of delight. Hashem Tzvakot. All the nations will be jealous of you, and they'll say, Ashreichem, for you are the most desirous of all lands. Pasuk Yud Gimel, this is, he's addressing now from here till Pasuk Yud, from Yud Gimel to Chafalef, he addresses those people who fear the Lord. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Chizku alai divreichem amar Hashem, v'amartem ma nidabru, ma nidbarnu alecha. Your words have become harsh against me, says God, but you say, how have we spoken against you? What have we done wrong? How have we spoken against you? So we'll see that in Pasuk Yudalit. What happens? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What gain is it? I'm sorry, I didn't even read the Lashon HaKodesh first. You said the following, Amartem Shav Oyved Elokim. And you said like this. You said, it's useless to serve God. What gain is there for us that we have kept His watch? That we walk submissively for God. Hashem Tzvakot. What is to be gained from all of this? It's no purpose to it. There's nothing to gain from it. We don't gain anything from serving the mitzvos. There's no reward. There's no monetary gain. We're not making money on the side. We don't gain anything from keeping the mitzvos. We're like mourners. We gain nothing. It's such a futile act. This is what their claim was. So now we praise the wicked. Evildoers are built up. They have even tested God and escaped. Or at least so they think. But now we think like this. We think that those people they're jealous of the evil people. They say, look at them, they got a life so good. We're busy doing these mitzvos, can't work on Shabbos, and they have it so good. They're bellyaching, they're griping. But those who feared God, they didn't go into they didn't fall for this malarkey, and they stayed faithful to Hashem. Pasuk 16. Az nidbaru yirei Hashem ish al reyehu v'yakshev Hashem v'yishma because of Sefer zikar l'fanav l'yirei Hashem chosh v'yishma. Very, very famous pasuk. And those who fear God spoke to one another. And as these people who are speaking to one another, those fears of God, they're going to refute all the blasphemy and all the heresy that was just said in the earlier pasuk. Then those who feared God spoke to one another, and God listened and heard. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who feared God and those who gave thought to His name. I hear their words, meaning it's not like you think that I'm oblivious. On the contrary, I listen to everything that's said. And so this book which is being written is going to be for remembrance before God. Yud Zayin. Payli Amar Shem Tzvakot LaYom Asher Ani Oseh Skula V'Chamalti Aleihem Kasher Yachmol Ish Al Bno HaOved Oso. 17 means they will be a precious treasure for me, Master of Legions, on the day which I brought about. I have mercy on them as a man has mercy on his son who serves him. On that day, what does that day mean? That's the day of judgment. A servant, his son, who is a servant, his faithful son, faithful servant, even if he bellyaches, the Father has compassion upon him and always forgives him. Likewise, God will do the same with us. 18. V'shatam arisam ben tzadik l'rasha ben oved elokim l'asher lo avado. Then you will return and see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve Him. And those days when you will come back and you will see, then you will understand, then you will decipher between the lot of those who are righteous, who serve God, and the lot of those who are evil and don't serve Him. 19. Kinei hayom va bo'er katanur v'kol zedim v'cholose risha kash v'lihato sam hayom haba mar shem tzvakos asher lo ya'azov lahem Shorish Va'anaf, Yotes. For behold the day. this is the metaphor for the sun, the day means the sun, is coming, burning like an oven, when all the wicked people and all the evildoers will be like straw. And that coming day, again we're talking about the sun, will burn them up, says God, master of Tzvakos, so that it will not leave them a root or a branch. There'll be nothing left. They'll all be consumed like fire. And it says like straw will be burnt because it's burnt very quickly. There'll be nothing left, not even a branch or anything. And as they'll be totally destroyed, there'll be nothing left. There's not a branch, not a wig, not a twig, not a leaf. It'll all be gone. Pasuk Chaf. V'zarcha lecham yirei shmi shemesh tzlako marpei bichnafeha. V'yitzasem fishtem keegle marbeik. But a sun of righteousness will shine for you who fear my name. With healing in its rays, the therapeutic powers of the sun, and you'll go out and flourish like calves fattened that are in the stall. Fattened in the stall. V'zarcha God will shine to those people who fear him like the bright rays of the sun will bring about a tzedakah, meaning a Yeshua, will be salvation. And God's Son will bring with it all kinds of powers of therapeutic powers of clearing from all kinds of pains and ailments. And you'll go out to the cities of the streets of the city and you'll dance because of all your joy. That's how happy you'll be. Chaf Aleph. V'asosim rishayim ki hiyu efer tachas kapos raglechem v'yom asher ani oseh amar shem tzvakot. Chaf Aleph means 21, and you will trample the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet, and that they will bring about, says God, Hashem Tzvakot. Chaf Aleph, they will be like fire. After ashes are burned, there's nothing left. It's nothing left. After fire gets to it, there's nothing left. And so now we come, Pasuk 22 to 24 is the conclusion of Navi Malachi, it's the conclusion of Treyasar, these very, very famous words, Pasuk. Chaf Beis. Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi, Asher Tzivisi Oso, V'chorev Al Kol Yisrael Chukim Mishpatim. Remember, don't forget 22. Remember the Torah of Moshe, my servant. Observe the Torah so that you will be spared on Judgment Day. Remember this day, remember the Torah, you'll be spared. Remember the Torah of Moshe, my servant, which I commanded him at Chorev for all of Israel, for its decrees and its statutes. You earlier asked, how can we come back? Amen, Ashuv. And here the Navi is finally answering you. After he's given his Musar, now he tells him, you want to know what to do? And Musar's words are addressing to the Kohanim. At the end of his words, he says, he wants them to understand very clearly. It's not enough repairing the things that you've done wrong, but what you must do is tamid always Taras Moshe, all the laws, all the commandments, all the components you have to remember. All of Klal Yisrael is commanded like this. Chaf Gimel, Hinei Elohi Sholech Lecha Es Eliyahu HaNavi, Es Eliyahu HaNavi, Lifnei Bo Hashem, Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol VaNerev. Behold, I will send you Eliyahu, means Elijah the prophet, on that day of greatness and awesome day of Hashem. I'll send you on this great day. As you already know, that Eliyahu HaNavi didn't actually die. He went in a chariot towards heaven, and he'll be come down again to arouse the Jewish people to serve to God, to return to God. And that great day, great for the tzaddikim, it'll be Nora, it'll be terrible for the Rishayim. That day, everything will be, the righteous will become great, and the evil ones, it's not going to be pretty. And to conclude, Veshiv levavos albanim levanim alavosam pen ova vikesi esaretz cheram. And he will turn back to God the hearts of the fathers with their sons, hearts of the sons with their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with utter destruction. Now, Eliyahu HaNavi, his job is to bring people's hearts back to God before Judgment Day and decrease the number of people who will survive his judgment. Now, the custom is that when we normally when we read it in public, Malachi, meaning on Shabbos Gadol, then we repeat the penultimate verse, the one before this, and that's because we want to end the Navi on a positive note. Likewise, we do the same things we read in the Yeshayahu, which ended on a positive note, also Eichos, on a positive note, also a Kohelis on a positive note. So we say again, Hineinu Shalech Lecha Mizaleo Navi Lifnei Bo Hashem HaGadol V'Handeira. We've all but concluded, let's just see, he'll be more to people, he'll bring back, he'll be more to people to the tshuva. And Navi in Malachi ends his Navi with a call to tshuva. Because tshuva has the great power, how probably we should learn this right before Rosh Hashanah. Tshuva has the power to bring what could be bad to actually turn it into good. And so we conclude Treyasar, conclude Malachi, with this positive note. We have to remember his call for justice for the people, particularly to the Kohanim. Those leaders have to act in a way that they should not be corrupt, but serve in the role of leadership. But the message to everyone, that should bring back the hearts of the fathers and the sons. Let the sons do tshuva and bring the fathers back. Let the fathers bring back the sons back. Everyone should be motivated for Eliyahu Navi to be spared in that day of great destruction, a day of judgment, that will come back into tshuva and be spared before God.